Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
It's been a while.
It has been more than a while. It's been a long, long, long time.
How you been?
Great. Yeah. It's been Kenny, I first met Nicole. I was at Hubba. She was at well.ca.
Well, it's not that long ago. Then you guys made it sound like 20 years long ago.
It's 4 years. Actually, if you like,
almost 10, I feel like.
Yeah, it feels like a long time.
Yeah.
Well, 10 is creeping into long. 10, yeah. 10 I'll give you a long. It sounds like 3 or 4 years.
No,
that's like normal today. Who sees anybody less more than that?
Yeah, 2015.
I left well.ca in 2015.
2015. Yeah.
What year is it?
5 or 6 years.
2021.
21. That's 6 years.
Well, you know, 2020 is really worth like 2 years. So yeah.
Two.
Add that up. And,
two. Jeez. And now you're being really nice. We're already 1 month through this year. It feels like we haven't even left the last year.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
It doesn't sound like we're getting out of this mess anytime soon.
Nope.
Now they're all panicking on the vaccines, the variants, like.
We're in it for the long haul.
Oh,
this is
yeah.
God. Life
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. This can't, not for long. Jesus. Oh my God. It's almost a year anniversary pretty soon.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Let's go down that path.
That long, dark road. For the audience, we have Nicole Murphy on. And we're super excited to have her. She's got a ton of retail experience behind her. She is now the VP of growth at Belcur. We'll get her to tell us what that is in a second as well. And then what's super cool is, so I think I said it to you in the LinkedIn when I reached out to you, but we actually had a listener who said, hey, you guys should have Nicole on because Nicole's really cool and would love to hear about. Yeah,
I'm very highly of like, I'm not wow. Like seriously without even blowing smoke up your butt. Yeah, no, yeah, he talks yeah. Really
somebody,
highly about
somebody
you.
Somebody asked for you, so
I thought,
so
wow,
I said,
okay.
Oh, I actually really... know Nicole. Like, let me reach out. So, yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. So Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are so excited. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about you and then tell us about Belcur as well?
Sure. Yeah. Also, I love how casual you guys are about this. It like yeah. Does nothing stresses a type A person out more than like, yeah, just show up. I'm like, oh my God, but what do I prepare? What do I do? But no, it's cool. So yeah. Hey everyone.
We're used to it. We just kind of sit there. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure. Like,
it's just another day for us. Cool. So yeah, I'm Nicole. I am most recently, as of literally like 4 weeks ago, VP of growth at Belcurve, which is a growth agency. Newly formed, which I'll get into as of kind of August of last year. And then, yeah, prior to that, I feel like I've had experience in like all sorts of different places, which has been really cool, but primarily kind of on the marketing side, working across both retail, to your point, as well as SaaS. And so on the retail front, spent a couple years with The Source, and I guess they're technically owned by Bell, but whatever. The Source, I was running the CRM and loyalty team there. And then prior to that, my other retail experience was at well.ca, which was my very first job out of university, which was super fun. And then aside from that, working on the SaaS side for FreshBooks, I was running a lot of the email marketing efforts there, as well as for a while ran the trial to paid conversion team. And then where else? Oh, Envision. Most recently, before I joined Belcurve, spent a few years at Envision. Again, started focusing on email. That was a lot of my work there, but then ended up building out a lifecycle marketing team that kind of spanned full funnel. Yeah, it's all over the place, but it's cool. Very because cool. Honestly, I think like in hindsight, cool. In hindsight, I've I would actually give that advice to people, is like, try to like dip your hands in different pots if you can, because everything is so like, the skills and the things that you learn is also transferable. Whether you're in retail, like there's so much you learn in retail that you can bring to the SaaS world and vice versa. And especially when you're working with the same digital channels, it actually like, I think it allows you to be a little bit more creative in taking things you've learned from different industries and such. So that's me.
And what did you do at Well?
Yeah. So when I first joined there, so in university, I went to school to be a doctor. And then halfway through, I was like, nope, not for me. This is not going to happen. So I had applied at a whole bunch of, I would say like larger, like consumer product companies out of school, but because I didn't have a business degree, everyone shut me down. So I actually reached out to well.ca, this like little startup at the time, being like, hey, will you just take me? I just want to learn business and marketing. So when I first joined there, I was just kind of their like random digital marketing intern, if you will. So I did a summer with them before I joined on full time. Part of my job was running around downtown Toronto with well.ca gift cards and just giving them to anybody who would take them. And then over time, my role progressed, I would say more into, for a while there, I was doing a lot of like brand sponsorship stuff. So partnering with various brands who wanted more exposure on our website or on our emails or whatever, and figuring out what those programs look like, and kind of created that additional source of, revenue for us. And then this, before I left, it was primarily email marketing. I would say the bread and butter of my career has been around email as a channel and how we use that across the various stages of the life cycle.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. But your education is a BSci.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Which I think
because that's weird. I mean, business and BSci, you know, it's not.
Yeah, and actually, I think now that I think about it, and now that I see where I kind of ended up, it kind of makes sense, because like a lot of, even though I'm in marketing, a lot of the stuff I do requires a lot of testing and like scientific approach and like statistics and stuff like that, right? So in hindsight, it all worked out.
Well, apparently, I mean, it sounds like you're doing well, so something worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
Your personality comes through too, so I'm assuming that had a lot to do with it.
Hopefully. Hopefully people think I'm cool, like this person did, who, you know, told me to come on here, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think it's cool. Yeah. And then I didn't realize that you spent some time at FreshBooks as well, in there, which is really cool as well. Yeah. That must have been
an awesome company. Fun. It was probably one of my favorite gigs. Really, really cool product. I think when I first joined there, actually leaving well.ca to go there, I was like, oh, like, well.ca, you like work with so many cool brands and products, and literally the brands come into the office with boxes full of like one of everything, being like, just try it all. You guys can all try it, in the hopes that we list their product, right? And so I had like endless supplies of skincare and healthy snacks and all that good stuff while I was there. So when I went to FreshBooks, I was like, oh, like small business accounting software, like
that's so exciting, riveting, in fact.
But at the time, it was bigger company, like bigger team. It gave me more like learning opportunities and stuff. So it was exciting. But once I got in there, I really fell in love with it. Really wasn't less about the accounting software, but I think just like small business owners, entrepreneurs in general, and knowing that was our audience and just hearing how much, and now I'm a FreshBooks user. So knowing how much that product like changes their lives, because the last thing they want to be doing is accounting. And we were just making it easy for them. So that really resonated.
Yeah. That's a
big thing. you really have had some diversity between education and jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I think just even that part of, you know, the full funnel experience that you're now kind of leading and providing, you know, that the ability to be able to bring retail and then FreshBooks and all of these things has got to make you, you know, I mean, the experiences that you're bringing now to clients must be huge, right? Because you can kind of see it from multiple angles. You can kind of think about it creatively, you know, bring different viewpoints to be able to attack problems, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think even just beyond myself and my experience, I think maybe I'll touch on a little bit more about Bell Curve now, because we're taking a pretty unique approach, I think, that allows us to bring a bunch of different experience to the table. And so Bell Curve was essentially born as the result of a company called Demand Curve. So that's our parent company. They went through Y Combinator. They basically built a community for growth people. So like a Slack community sort of thing. They had like a hiring product. So it helps companies find growth marketers or growth folks. And then they also created like an education product. So for early stage, like founders of early stage startups who maybe can't afford an agency or can't hire a growth marketer, like they would go through that course, which was made by some of the best minds in the business, through people that the founders of Demand Curve knew and partnered with. They would go through that course and just kind of learn it themselves. Or if they had one marketer, they'd put that marketer through it in the hopes that they kind of just know how to do all the things after. So anyways, as a result of that, they've built up quite a reputation for themselves in that space, in the growth space. And they had a ton of people reaching out to them being like, can we just pay you to like, just do this for us? Like just help advise us on our growth strategy, and actually do that work for us. And so that's kind of where Bell Curve was born. So they actually hired a guy named Ian Martin. So he's our CEO. He started up a creative agency here in Toronto a few years back called Abacus. And that was super successful. And so they essentially hired him to do the same thing. And he brings all kind of the agency experience, which is really cool. And then brought me on for more of the growth experience that I bring to the table. I've never actually worked agency side before. So I was a little like, I don't know if this is for me, but I think the cool thing is that because it's rare for agencies to have this like buildup of an inbound lead flow, like looking to work with you, right? Because of all the work Demand Curve was doing. So it gives us a bit of a unique advantage to be a little bit choosier in who we work with. We are trying to flip the agency model on its head a little bit. We don't want to create like an unhealthy, like really long hours, unhealthy work environment. We want to create an agency that allows for a solid work-life balance, where we work on really cool projects, really cool clients, and have a really strong impact. That's what we're after. And I think the one interesting thing is because of the community of growth people that Demand Curve has created, there's a lot of people in there just looking to do freelance work and to do some stuff on the side or whatever. And so the goal is to keep the strategy in-house. And obviously when it's strategy, you can charge a lot more for strategy, right? And that's what people are really willing to pay for. So keeping a really lean team internally of strategists who have worked full funnel, who bring a bunch of different types of experience to the table, and then just outsource the actual execution work based on the client needs. So if we have a client who has a lot of SEO work, we'll just outsource that. And we'll figure that part out in the strategy part, right? Or if they need, I don't know, if they need our help building their first affiliate program or something like that, we'll just go find somebody who's done that and bring that in and really help us out. So it does allow us to bring a ton of different experience to the table and expertise to the table. And that's also something we look for too when we're looking to staff projects, like what brands have they worked on? Who have they worked with? What types of stuff have they done? Because it helps us kind of sell ourselves a little bit better as well.
It's very clever. I don't mean that in a trite sort of way. I mean, in a really, really smart sort of way.
Well, it's not typically what a lot of the agencies would have done in the past either, right?
Yeah.
To your point, you would have had a lot of that in-house. Everybody, dying because
exactly
you're trying to learn shit that you probably don't know well. Then you're doing shit you shouldn't be doing.
Exactly.
And it takes a long time to figure it out because it's not your, as opposed to saying,
you're trying really to bill for all of it, right? So you're trying to get the client to pay for everything, whereas you're paying for
often find yourself, you've got a staff, right? Like you've got staff. And so it's often like you might find yourself forcing clients in a certain direction just because like you've got someone there waiting to
because
do something.
Because it fits. Exactly. Yeah. It's not the way to do it, right? Mm. As opposed to going out and getting in the right piece.
Exactly.
You're just overseeing it and sort of, like you said, managing the strategy and you're hiring the right people anyway. It's not like.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think that's what contributes to, I think, some of the negative aspects of working for an agency, or like the typical thing that you think of when you hear the word agency. I think that contributes to a lot of that. And so that's really how we're hoping to be different, and so far so good. Again, I think we're uniquely positioned to be successful here because we already have that network built. We already have that reputation built. It's just a matter of executing on it at this point. It's super exciting.
Wow. That's very cool. So how
it's a good model. It's a smart model.
Yeah. I think so.
How long, I think you've said it, but I missed it. How long has demand curve been around then?
I think like 2 to 3 years. I'm not sure the exact year they started. They went through Y Combinator for their first year, so part of an accelerator there. But yeah, I think it was about 2 or 3 years.
Wow. And there's some pretty serious.
I wasn't asking because I'm trying not to look at the web page. I'm trying to be really nice
I looked
and quasi focused.
So
because what happens, so you know,
like on this
we'll
podcast,
both do it.
Yeah.
We'll both start looking and then we forget we're on a podcast and then we're just looking at web pages. So we can't both be doing the same thing. So usually Phil, because he's more techie, that he's always first, which pisses me off because then I can't do anything because, you know, I'm not allowed to at that point.
You can just, it just allows you to sit back, relax, enjoy the conversation.
Well, I do that anyway, so it's not going to matter, but you know, I like to cheat too.
You know what? But thank God that you don't sell a product, because I think every time we get a product on, I wind up buying something of that product. Usually right during the podcast, I'm usually like at some point, you know, like I'm like, click, add to cart, buy, you know, and then all this stuff shows at my house. But
because I'm not looking like Phil or because it's in your head, Nicole. So who are some of the clients? Can you share? I'm assuming you can share who's on the webpage.
Yeah, I can share some of the the ones that we have agreements with are on the Demand Curve website. They were before my day. But folks like Clearbit, done some work with Microsoft. I believe that was some paid acquisition stuff, but don't hold me to it. Segment, Zendesk, and a variety of others, but we just can't.
So are you mainly focused on larger, or is it any size, or is it just
That's a good question. Yeah, I think our sweet spot right now is earlier stage startups. I would say like Series A, maybe some seed round folks, Series A, Series B. But again, typically startups who kind of have their feet under them, they've got some investment and funding that they can afford to bring on an agency. But oftentimes actually every client I've worked with so far since I've been here in like a month, they don't actually even have like a marketer yet. So they are still fairly early on, but a lot of these guys are technical folks, right? Who've just had a really good idea for a really cool product and marketing isn't their jam. And so, they're definitely earlier stage, but it's really cool. And I think like a really cool part of the gig for me selfishly is like being able to work with so many different founders and across so many different verticals, different business problems, et cetera. I'm like one of those people who I always want to be solving multiple problems at once, or like I get bored really quick, you know? So it was definitely a good fit on that front, because every single day, like sometimes we'll be helping a client with paid acquisition. Other days it'll be like, oh, these people just need a website refresh and a rebranding. And some people are like so early in their journey that they're having a hard time even just like articulating what their product does, who it's for. So there's a lot of like messaging, persona research and stuff like that going on. And then lots of like email stuff too, which is, I get to nerd out on that. But yeah, it's all over the place and full funnel type stuff.
And the customer base, is it pretty techie focused, or is it all over the place as well? Because what you offer is all over the place. I can see
that. You mean our clients or
your client base? Your client base, the ones you're
clients. Yeah, so they're typically either like e-com or
those fields. Okay.
SaaS, B2B or B2C. Yeah, SaaS definitely techie.
Okay. Interesting. Cool.
It's such a big need gap, right? Like the techie folks, having worked with a bunch of these ones as well, you realize like it's such a lonely place to be for a single marketer. As you get in there and then you start talking and then you look around and all the techies are like,
what
does this mean we're gonna sell stuff? Like you're like,
well, typically it's just propeller heads, right? It's a whole different world.
No, and I think that's there is one client that comes to mind actually that they had just hired their first marketer. So I think even to your point, like in that case, it's probably really nice. Never thought about it this way, but it's probably really nice for him to just have other marketers to work with, to jam on stuff with. I've always
have someone say, well, that's a cool idea.
I know. Like, yeah, sure. Just go make us money. Would you?
Yeah. Do something.
Yeah. There's definitely that. I think a bunch of the clients I have now, even where they are sole marketers, I think that you guys are probably expensive for people just to talk to, but there is definitely this need where, you know, like you're if you're the marketer and you've just been hired on, they've been converting on sales, but they probably just did it however they could get sales, right? So you get a marketer in there and the marketer is like, okay, I got to set some stuff up. I need some brand standards. And they're all like, dude, just like throw stuff in a bag and let's go sell it. Right. You're like, oh God, So having you guys there to strategically guide, I got to imagine is a huge shot in the arm, right? It allows the marketer to be able to do what they have to do. Maybe even use you guys to clear some space with C-suite and, kind of teach some of those things, right? Like connect on the right kind of technical levels so that you can open it up and allow the marketer to get what they need done, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think like the focus thing is big because one thing I've noticed really quickly is that, again, a lot of these guys are so early in their marketing journey, if you will, just their journey period, that there's so much they could be doing. And so one of the products we actually offer is like, they just purchase a growth strategy from us. So we go and we look under every hood you can possibly imagine, pull back all the layers and essentially do like a full funnel growth audit. And then from there, turn it into okay, here are all of the opportunities. But I think the most valuable part of all of that is we kind of tell you all the things you could do, which as you can imagine is a ton of stuff just given where they're at. Yeah. But we say like, if this was our company, we literally say that if this was our company, here's what, where we would start. If it was like, we only had 3 months and we had X, Y, and Z constraints or whatever, this is what we would do. Right. Then this is what we would do. And then this is what we would do. And we build that in such a way that if they want to take that and run with it internally, go for it. Like we want that to be valuable and clear enough for them to do that. But obviously we hope that they're like, why don't you guys just do this for us? But it's interesting because there's so much opportunity. And I think it's tough if you don't have that guidance of kind of where to focus, what levers are going to be, have the most impact, like that strong, like impact versus effort ratio, you could be like, who knows where you could end up. Right. So hopefully we're able to help on that front.
Do you find there are any, are there any patterns that you see? Particularly I'm thinking of those where you've got a company that's got a round of funding in, they've hired a marketer on, they realize that they're kind of selling things, but they're not really talking to customers yet. Do you find patterns like, do you find companies that kind of lean towards certain things, certain mechanics?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think two have come to mind right away. The first one being like, I think the knee-jerk reaction is you get investment and you go, and you, assuming you've got your product built and everything like that, you go into paid acquisition right away. And that's why there are so many paid acquisition agencies, and that's all they do is they just manage all of your ads and whatever across all the various channels and platforms. But what we see a lot of times is clients might already be investing there and they either don't have the proper tracking, so they don't know what's working, what's not. But even beyond that, they're driving them to places that are like nowhere near optimized. So they're literally leaving the table. So whether that's SaaS or e-com, whatever their conversion funnel is broken. And yet they're dumping all this money into getting people to that place just so they can drop off. Or what I said earlier, maybe say their conversion funnel is working well, they have no idea which platform, which channel, which source is the most profitable for them, and where to focus their efforts. And so, that's definitely a pattern. I think the other thing that stands out to me is, this goes back to kind of like how they articulate what they do. I think a lot of these people, these founders are so in their own product, like they're so ingrained in it that it makes sense to them how they talk about it. Right. But they have a hard time distilling it down to like the simplest form of what their product does that somebody can understand within the first 5 seconds of landing on their homepage. So those are some things that pop up to me.
That's so typical though.
So
typical.
It's funny. Cause I'm laughing a little bit cause Kenny and I work on a mutual client. And both of those are, super common.
It's a common, but it's a common trait, right? But again, you always gotta cut the slack in that. A lot of these people come up, they have a great idea and they've got the passion and the drive and they have an ability to find money and they have ability to get started, but nobody said they were marketers.
And honestly, that's the hardest part. You know
what I mean? Seriously. But what do you expect people to do? Yeah. So like, you know, what do you, what, you know, if you got people listening, let's say that are in that stage, let's say they've got a round of money, they've got the product, the idea, it's kind of moving, it's going through production. So the reason they're going, I'm assuming, to a lot of the paid for is because that's why they're either being told to do that, mm-hmm. or two, they've done some of it and they've seen some kind of results, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Right? It's not relevant if they track it. Yeah, you can see it. I see some numbers come in. I see numbers leave. So first off, I don't know it's broken.
Something's happening.
Something's working.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but something's working. So yeah. So you're sitting on the other side. So what are the things that you tell people to ask or to look at or think of? Because they don't know that, right? So it's hard. Why are they going to phone you when they think, well, this person said to do this? Yeah, I was doing a little bit of that, but they're doing more. So it's got to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our formula in that particular case, our formula is oftentimes, honestly, with any client and regardless of where they need help the most, always starts with data. A lot of times they don't have proper underlying data infrastructure. So both on the like attribution side of things in terms of where their traffic's coming from, where the revenue is coming from. Mm-hmm. But as you move, actually, no, it honestly, it stands for both like e-commerce and like SaaS. The event tracking. So we're really big on event tracking, making sure you're understanding what actions your customers are taking, what combination of micro actions are going to make somebody more likely to upgrade for the first time or more likely to like add a product to their basket, and kind of working backwards from there. So that's kind of step one in our formula, is always to make sure that we've got that figured out. And so we've got like an engineer specifically that we work with that builds those systems out for our clients. And then step two of that formula is the messaging piece. So making sure that, again, before you're dumping money into,
you're saying the right things,
wherever. Yeah. Whatever you're saying is going to stick and it's going to land. And you also know who you're talking about. I think this becomes more important in the B2B space, where you could be talking to one company, but even then you've got your end user who's then telling their manager they want this tool. The manager then has to probably go tell someone super senior to secure budget. You've got security and like the procurement team and all these different people just in one company to bring on one tool.
Yeah,
right. And so, and they're all looking for vastly different things. They all have different pain points, and so you have to just get really clear on who you're talking to and what they need from you. And then the last piece is like funnel optimization. So just looking at where that drop off is happening and running tests to see where we can pull that back. That's not to say though that you can't spend money while all of that happens. I think there is that balance of like your early days, you need to spend money and you need to like get your name out there and drive traffic.
Yeah, you need some awareness and all that other stuff too, right?
But just not doing that in a black hole. Right. Like mm-hmm. making sure that alongside that you're optimizing and improving things along the way.
I'm just thinking, I would love to be a fly on the wall watching you run through the analytics. I feel like I like that stuff. I geek out on that side. I feel like hanging out with you, watching you do it would be super fun.
You can get pretty nerdy. It's honestly, it's very interesting. And I think this is like where my science background comes in. I love it too. Yeah. Like I could nerd out and geek out on dashboards. And I just get so fascinated by like seeing like, oh my God, okay. Say there's like a 5-step flow to like checkout or something like that. And seeing such a massive drop off at a certain place and then cooking up all these ideas on how to decrease that. I think, that's super, super exciting. But it's cool. It's honestly like, I think that part of the process too is really rewarding working with clients because it's the most impactful. Sure, you can get new messaging and they're like, okay, I guess if you say that makes sense and that's what people want to hear, cool. But being able to deliver that kind of tracking strategy and see it come to life and then just showing them like the dashboards and stuff we can create for them so they actually have insight and learnings about their own business they didn't even have before, that's really cool.
It's a big deal though, right? Like you think really never before in marketing, right? Before marketing, you know, marketers get made fun of a lot, right? Especially in the old days, it's like, oh, well, you put together a commercial. What did you, I don't know. Yeah, we saw it on TV. Cool. You know, but you couldn't really say what it did, right? So you did cool branding. You did cool messaging. Everyone was okay. I've got this doc now. So what, right? But now you've actually got, yeah, the so what I can actually show you, right? I can show you the numbers, and I can show you if we did the branding the wrong way, I can also show you what happens.
Well, you can see the cliff where everybody jumped, right? Prior to the closing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. It's there's so much like psychology involved in it all too, which I find so fascinating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I could ever be a traditional marketer. Like, I don't think I couldn't.
You know what you would have done? You would have done what a lot of them did, is just they just moved marketing to where it is now.
Yeah.
Like in the old days, you just didn't have the tools. I mean, how do you measure it? You put an ad in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. And maybe you sort of knew, maybe you didn't. Right.
Well, no, I mean, you'd phone a few retailers. No. Someone said, "Yeah, I was up in the city." Well, it's got to be the newspaper.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
What the hell else did we do? Well, that's the newspaper. Absolutely, everybody read it that day. John, didn't you see them? They're all running with the newspaper.
Yeah, that's true. That actually gives you a lot of freedom. I kind of like that. Must have been that.
But it was easy. True. Well, in retail, we had ads.
Yeah.
You ran an ad. Well, shit, it had to be the ad. You're thinking, or it could have been the fact they were in the store.
Maybe.
And there was just a sign.
Could have. Yeah. Yeah,
right? They didn't even see the ad. They didn't even know you had an ad running.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, they didn't even care if you had an ad.
Now you have to have a sense of humor, right? Because now you can run email campaigns and the numbers will tell you how crap. Like, oh, okay. We can't use thinking, any
of and I actually sent this that right entire to thing the out. Person.
Like, that was bad, right? Like,
yeah, so can you imagine what it must have been like in the old days? At least now you can say, well, I got a 30% click open rate and you're looking at things. What did you do in the old days? Who the hell knew where the newspaper went?
No, but even then, like, if you got data in the old days, it was a long time later. Like, the campaign was...
How do you collect it?
Nobody really cared anymore, right? Because the campaign was so far gone.
So far gone.
You know, that...
So far gone.
Intuition and gut instincts back then.
Yeah, yeah,
I think this is good. Let's just roll with it.
But that's what you did, right? But how else did you test, right? You would test by doing that. The problem is, like, as you know, you guys can test now within a matter of days, hours, even, to be honest, and see, okay, shit, honestly, that's really email, absolutely squat.
That's one thing I like love about email marketing is literally the second you send it out, if you're running an A/B test, you can see right away which one is working.
Absolutely.
Right? Sometimes with advertising and things like that, it takes a little bit longer to get enough impressions and blah, blah, mm-hmm. and then all that data come back to you. But like, that's one thing I always geeked out on about email marketing is like, it's instant. Like the instant gratification is like, or like it's awful and you're tested horribly and the opposite of what you wanted to do, but at least you know right away.
At least you know and you can react quickly mm-hmm. without spending, you know, a truckload of money.
Yeah.
Necessarily, right? You're running, you know, massive ads and doing other things. So
oh my gosh.
It's definitely a much cooler world.
Email marketing, you can spend, like for little companies, you spend nothing, right? Like you can live in MailChimp and spend nothing.
Collect names
and like split for free. Like buckets and buckets and buckets of
exactly,
you know, and screw around with messaging for,
you know, but you put a little box that you're not, you know, would you mind sharing your email? You get an email. Yeah. And
it's so true. Email is always
light it up.
Such a powerful channel. I think like, especially in retail, but I think it brings me back to my source days, like in Christmas, or like during Christmas time, just seeing everyone in the office, like we would be sending out our midnight Black Friday, and yes, we would all be there at midnight because whatever. And we would send out the email, and we would have everyone just like looking at the Google Analytics, like real time, seeing everybody come to the site and whatnot, and just seeing how powerful it is with just like hitting a button and hitting send is really, really cool.
Yeah.
I've also noticed it recently, like e-com aside or retail aside, what I found has been really fascinating is in the SaaS space, how you can use it and still to like influence behavior. So trying and testing different ways you talk to people or prompt them to like send their first invoice. Like that was a lot of the stuff that we did at FreshBooks. Like how do we figure that out, right? Like how do we get them to do that action faster? And that's a lot of the work I used email to do while I was running the trial to paid conversion team there, is just looking at the data, understanding kind of what actions make somebody more likely to upgrade from a free account to paid or to send that first invoice. Little things like we would be telling people too early, like, hey, go send your first invoice. And like, I just signed up yesterday. I might not even have a client yet. I don't even know if I want to use your system for...
I haven't really opened it yet.
Exactly.
Someone told me to do this. I did it. Yeah, it's on the list of things to do pretty soon.
Exactly. So there's certain things like that where you can just get that feedback right away that it's like, okay, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And so just being able to change little variables and see what the impact that has.
That's pretty cool.
It's really interesting. Email's scary though. Email is like also the riskiest channel because I've figured out that out the hard way, hitting the wrong button and sending something that shouldn't have gone out.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Literally you hit the button and then you're like, oh my God, no. Oh no, it's gone. Oh crap. Right. And then
I've literally cried tears because of those.
Yeah. I can actually feel the, when you said that, I can feel, you know, that heat that comes up on the back of your neck.
Like your heart sinks into your stomach. Yeah.
You get that nice cold sweat. The stomach sinks.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, geez, where am I going to work next week?
I know, honestly.
This gig's pretty much over. It'll take about an hour to get to that person.
Even like to this day, like anytime I have to go in and like hit send on any emails or whatever, I'm so traumatized that like I still don't want to have to go in and press send or whatever. And like my poor team, if they're like, I'm like, have you checked all the things? And they're like, yeah, okay, Nicole, we're good.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Four or five drafts of everything.
Yeah.
Like every change I make, I send myself, you know.
Okay, oh my gosh. Yeah. Again, you're like, how many more emails should I send this to? Like, can I send this to any more devices? Like, what door can I click on?
Yeah.
So true. One time at FreshBooks, I sent, I imported like a list of people. And I guess that when I was like working with the spreadsheet, I accidentally like inserted a row, so everything moved down one. So the emails and the first names and all of their information that we were so
John was Kenny and Kenny was Phil.
It
just,
it's usually a delete. Nicole. You delete two, but there's seven lines, right?
So, it was so bad, and it was my very first. I just joined FreshBooks. I was training, and then they were like, "No, you're ready. You got this email. You can send this one." I'm like, "Yeah," and I did that, and it was tough though because when I was testing it, everything was coming in fine. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. First name's pulling in, number of invoices they've sent is all good. Everything looks great. All the links work. So like literally everything looked fine. And then I hit send and then all the responses started coming in like, hey, thanks. It was an anniversary, like happy fifth FreshBooks anniversary. And then people are like, thanks, but who's Bob? Or like, who's this? Who's Michelle? Who's this person? And then because we were referencing like their invoice counts and stuff, they were like, is there a data leak? I'm like, no, it's not that bad.
Shit.
And then we went to send like an apology email or like a correction email, and we screwed that one up again. I forget how, it was something crazy. And it was just like, I'm like, okay, cool. Exactly. I need to go find a new job.
Exactly. If I get the resume updated, you know, right now I should be able to find something before Saturday.
It was so bad.
That is, oh yeah. Okay. That's.
But that's it. The worst part is that's after you checked, and you still
that's the thing. And then the learning is like, okay, now you have to add, and like, okay, their name might be Bob, but then you need to click into their account and make sure that that's actually their name.
Yeah.
That's how the email testing checklist gets longer and longer and longer. And then,
I have some more demand curve questions. I want to come back for a second.
Okay.
I was looking at, it's kind of neat, right? Because it's actually quite reasonable what you have. Like I'm looking at the pricing and the course options.
Yep.
So
that's the demand curve side, right? So that's not bell curve. So yeah, that's targeted at people like founders or marketers who want to just do it themselves.
Yeah.
They typically will go through demand curve. It's the folks that either don't want to do it themselves or they have more funding or more investment that they then hire bell curve as the agency to come in and do the work for them.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I got it. I understand. Sorry,
that that's piecemeal as well. Or can't. Yeah. There's obviously a program, I'm assuming. Or there's
it's all custom.
You could buy. It's custom.
Custom based on what they need, essentially, right? I like I was saying earlier, every client has been very different. And again, month for me, but like even in that short period of time, every client I've worked with so far has had very different needs and are just different stages. Like we're working with one client who hasn't even launched yet. So that's going to be a lot different than somebody who's been out in market and is trying to get a new audience or whatever. So
do you, is one of the things, cause I'm thinking about, you know, so Kenny and I, you know, we each work with a bunch of, you know, owners, founders, you know, kind of small business. Right. And so whether they're kind of like the series A startup folks are like this or startups are like this too, where they get to a point where they also have trouble transitioning from doing it themselves. You know, that they don't necessarily know what they're doing respectfully, right? I mean, they've grown it to a certain point.
They did okay to a point. They just can't take it any farther, and they're not going to be able to.
Like, do you run into that? And then do you guys have, like, I often wonder, I think Kenny and I actually joke about this, is that there probably needs to be some sort of coaching, like a mentor coaching, about how you go from being an owner operator to a CEO, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't run into that at Bell Curve, but I think I've seen it in a variety of other places.
Yeah.
And even honestly, I felt it a little bit. I was off doing my own consulting for a while back.
Yeah.
And decided to like start my own podcast and like do all this stuff. And I was like, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, this is all great, but you can only do so much by yourself, right? And so, but it's scary to like hire people and invest in that. I think upfront, all you can see is the money you're spending. And you don't start to realize like how much time you get back in your day or how much more productive it makes you elsewhere, which ultimately is just going to bring in more money for the business. I definitely felt that myself. So I imagine a lot of them go through that probably.
That's just a loss of the control.
Yeah.
Like that's even as a consult, I mean, obviously the first thing you see is shit that comes out of my pocket. There's nobody to spread this out on anymore. But sometimes I think what it is, it's just a fear of letting go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You did have a podcast. These are really cool.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. It was fun. I like podcasting. I love chatting, but I didn't realize all the work that goes into having a podcast.
Well, like, no, unless you're impromptu like we are. And then
even this, but like you had to find your guest.
Yes.
You have to edit it. You have to post it. You have to tell people about it.
Yes.
That's why we have Phil.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
See, for me, super easy. Super easy. I shit you not. Anybody can do a podcast. I'm going to put that out there. You guys, anybody can do. You get a Phil, anybody can do a podcast.
Because I love doing podcasts. And honestly, I've even thought about it for Bell Curve. I'm like, it would be so cool. Because
I got a guy for you, Nick. Nicole, I got a guy.
you know a Phil?
I got a guy.
But yeah, I was even thinking that with Bell Curve. I was like, between Bell Curve and Demand Curve, we talked to whether it's clients or people in our community, like in the Slack community or people going through the course, like we talked to so many different people experiencing different growth problems or learning, trying and
that'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe talking to you a little bit later.
Yeah.
Or you know, honestly, or send them here. We'd love to have them on.
Oh God. We just like talking to people. Because I think typically we're not that hard. I mean, we're not that scary really.
You're not.
Like, it's not like a, oh my God, you know, we're not that hard to be with.
So I think it was you guys just saying, don't prepare anything. Just come. I'm like, come on. Crazy type A people cannot not prepare.
So. It's the number one. We probably spend
number one requirement.
Like we usually it's like, hey, do you want to come on the phone? Like, sure. Okay. And then we book a time. And then the next four emails are like, so what do I prepare? What do I like? No, don't bring anything. Just come and you'll chill out with us.
I've never done a podcast. What do I need to do?
They're like, no, really. So what do you envision as questions? Like, we don't know. We haven't even looked at you.
I like it.
Just think you're kind of cool. So,
well, I mean, I'll give you. So the Nicole, right? I got a call 10 minutes before we came on because this person thought, or about an hour because he thought it was, I started at noon. You guys are Toronto. Noon, you're 3 o'clock, you're whatever time it was.
Whatever time.
And I said, no, I haven't been on yet. He goes, so do you know her? I said, no, just outside of you mentioning her name and the invite that I got saying that we're having Nicole Murphy, and I have no idea who Nicole Murphy is. I have no idea what Bell Curve is. Quite frankly, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm playing with hockey cards. I'm very busy this moment. I've got so many other things to do. It's going to have to wait. When I'm ready, I'll be on.
Yep. Love it.
But that's how we do it, because then the thing's easier for you. It's easier for the guests, right? I mean, it's not. It's more just to learn things. I wanted to see what you do. Why did you do it? How'd you go from a B-Sci to well.ca to doing this? Like, what's the steps? Why'd you do that? Like, what drove you to do?
No,
what are you doing now? Like, what are you actually doing right now? What are you doing this last 4 weeks? What are you doing? Tell me what your job is.
My job. So my job, if I were to split it into some buckets, I think because we're so early stage, and actually part of the reason I took this job is because I've always envisioned myself running my own company one day. I just have no freaking idea what that is yet. I don't have a good idea yet, you know?
It's coming.
So I was like, you know what? This is really cool. I'll get to meet a lot of people. I'll get to learn a lot of things about running a business, both working with clients, but also like growing Bell Curve with Ian on our own, right?
Yeah.
So I would say a lot of my time is like hiring. We're trying to grow. So recruiting, creeping LinkedIn. I actually finally upgraded to premium because they like cut me off. I was creeping so many people.
Yeah, they don't let you creep unless you pay.
Yeah,
so I that's enough free that. Stuff. Now you have to pay for it.
Like we've gone this long together, and that's what you got to do. So yeah, a lot of it's like people stuff, and then processes. So just setting up. We've got a small team in place right now. So just setting up processes and systems so that they can be as efficient as possible as they're working with our client. A lot of it feels right now. Like a lot of stuff, we're doing it from scratch every single time, which we kind of are. So just taking those things that we're doing from scratch and turning them into kind of reasonable templates or whatever moving forward. And then a lot of it is like just meeting with different clients. So meeting with people who are interested in working with us and want to hear more about us and kind of pitching them, if you will. But also the clients that were already on board, seeing through those projects and working really, really closely with them. So that's kind of how I would split that up. Okay. And then the last thing I think is because we pull from this this demand curve Slack community of growth people, we really want to find a way. So I'm like kind of thinking about this as well. We want to find a way to like really engage that community, specifically the freelancers, so that they kind of feel like an extension of the bell curve team. And we don't know what that looks like yet, whether it's like weekly events or monthly socials or something like that. Education stuff, like being able to like get them access to workshops, that might help them, better their skills and whatnot. We want to make them feel like they're part of the team. And so that's another piece I'm trying to figure out and think about.
That's pretty interesting.
No, that's cool though. That's
really interesting. Yeah. I think you're right. Like I think of the number of hangout groups that I'm in with freelancers where, you know, like there's just nobody to talk to, right? Like you're at home by yourself. Sometimes you just need, you know, and I think that's part of the community too, that you're building.
That's exactly it. I remember when I was consulting, the reason I ended up going back to FreshBooks was really good. They let me take some time off to like explore that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I ended up going back because I was just lonely. I'm like the kind of person I like to jam with people, you know, and like throw ideas off of each other or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like the only people I was talking to were my clients who like aren't always the nicest. So, you know.
Yeah. That's why we have a podcast. So the two of us can.
We can talk. So once a week we get to vent. So you can come on anytime you want.
You can come on anytime you like.
Just phone ahead. So just so you know, this is prime time.
Yeah.
Because usually we record 8 o'clock my time.
Okay.
On Thursday nights, which is 11 o'clock your guys' time.
Mm-hmm.
But you can come on. So you get those weeks where you think, you know what? I got to blow some steam.
Yep, I'm down.
Hop on, baby.
Seriously.
I like that.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Podcasts are definitely helpful on that front, especially if you've got someone to do all the stuff.
See, Phil?
Got a Phil, yeah.
And just in case anyone's wondering, Nicole's podcast is called Learn to Love Email Podcast.
Does it still work? Like, is it still?
It does work. It does work. I'm actually going to go listen to them all.
So why can't we do a podcast? Why can't Nicole come back and do a podcast about that?
100%.
Because honestly, I mean, I'm glad we had this talk. This is cool because I got a chance because I've heard good things about you from two different people in a very short period of time. So very neat to meet you. I love that's awesome. But it would be neat to
we could do email all day, course, Kenny. I did it out of respect for you, man. Like the minute we got to email, I'm like, I'm in. I'm gone.
I know
like,
you're in, but you got to give it a chance. We got to learn a little bit, a little bit. Then we go.
I could talk email all day.
Honestly. Okay. Then the two of you are going to have to corral. Yeah. Bring an idea or like a tight little box and we'll do it.
I'm down.
I've got two clients. I've got clients still that I would love to learn a little bit more and help them a little bit more with that side.
I'll help you learn to love email. That's where that name came from. That's so
true. I'm ready.
Honestly, it's one of those things I tell clients, like it is, it's not simple. It's not simple to do, right? But if you have a base and you're not using it, like, one of my clients, she's 22,000 emails collected and they're just sitting there. Right. So when I got there, I'm like, hi, so when are you sending emails? Like, what's your schedule? And she's like, oh, we don't send emails. I go to her MailChimp. She's got 22,000 emails. Right. Aww. So we started sending stuff and like immediate, like what you were saying, like, so immediately you see right away, like you see, you know, this younger group, 30s and 40s, immediately responding to the emails. They're clicking, they're opening, they're buying. you know, the older group not doing, and she's like, oh, see, it doesn't work. I'm like, what, are you crazy? Like, now we got
the ones,
now we
the
have
ones who are spending like, and ready to buy are the ones
away and like form like messaging for the old people so that they're in, and then the young people are decent. Like, oh my god, right? And you know, yeah, it's crazy.
But if you think about it, because you guys both know it, how many companies have these wonderful lists? It doesn't have to be 22,000. It could be 400. Mm-hmm. But those 400 people are ready, willing, and able.
Yeah, and you're just not,
you're just not talking to them. Yeah. Someone else is.
Yeah. I think that's true. Like, I think a lot of people like don't recognize the value of an email list, right? And like to your point, they could be running their business for a year and they haven't asked for a single email. And so that's always like one of the first things I would tell people is just, even if you don't know what to do with the emails yet, like
collect them,
park them,
just collect them until you figure that out. Yeah. But you don't want to lose a year or whatever it is. Right. And then I think you're right. The other kind of barrier I think is like the technical aspect of email marketing, which I think just scares people away. I've noticed, I remember back from my email days or my consulting days, a lot of the small business owners I was working with, they naturally just gravitated towards social media because they were on those platforms every day themselves. So it felt really familiar, right? And they just turned it into, okay, how do I use this to talk about my business? But no one, not everyone's just like hanging out in MailChimp every day. So I think it's that barrier that scares people off. But it's also, to anyone listening to this, is like, if there's anywhere I would recommend getting into marketing is like email. Getting into email jobs is like, it's huge because everyone needs an email marketer of some sort. The technical skills that you get from it, as you get to touch everything from copywriting to design to the technical part, analytical part, literally everything. It was so, like, I'm so grateful. I think like looking back on my career and just having to have ended up there at well.ca and then doing the email program there, I'm so glad that that's the road I went down. I learned so much. So,
Book her in.
Yeah, we should. We should
jam on book her in for an afternoon. We'll do it. We'll do another afternoon session in March. We don't have to do an evening one because I don't want to
keep, I'm really excited.
Feel awake.
I can't even hear what Kenny's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we're going to do email marketing. This is amazing.
All I'm trying to do is make sure that we do it at a time that is nice for Nicole, not for you.
Good. This is fine for me.
This is this bumping, is not normal. I'm usually it's 11 o'clock
like,
your time.
We've got guests for like 3 weeks running now. I'm just going to bump them all and bring Nicole back next week and then we'll just keep going.
This is an exception. So the person that actually, one of the people recommended you, we gave him the normal time, the shit time, the 11 o'clock your time night.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed at like 9.
Yeah.
Listen, it works for me. It's not my dinner time. I get a chance to relax. Today was all about you, Nicole. Whatever you want, Phil said, whatever she wants. She sounds nice. Everybody says nice things. Whatever she
loves
wants.
Loves email marketing. Now she gets whatever now, look, she whatever time whatever it is, we're doing it because this is going to be
any amazing. Day, 11 any
o'clock. Time. I could make 11 o'clock. That'd be a party. I'll return the favor. I promise.
Nah, don't worry about it.
No. You're one of the inside guests.
I kind of like this time too, to be honest with you, because I can still make dinner for Amelia. I've got time to, you know, doesn't bugger up the day and I don't have to worry about similar. I'm in Vancouver.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nicole, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, this is
that's wonderful. Thanks for coming on. And we are going to have you again.
Yeah.
Phil's not going to bump a whole ton of people either. We're going to just give it a little break, couple, 2-3 weeks. You know what? This is so she can prep.
Yeah.
No. You don't understand. I have her calendar.
You're not allowed to.
So I get access.
And you're not. Yeah.
Well, I can just put times in her calendar.
I saw that too, and I thought I could have fun in here. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, but I can really pass. And like, I'm the one that can really screw it up.
Yeah, she's going to be like, "Wait, those guys again? Like, what the?"
Exactly. And you're not allowed to prep, eh? Remember?
I know. I screwed something up Calendly this week. I was booking a bunch of customer interviews for two different clients because we're in like the research phase.
Yeah.
And I gave them both the same Calendly link. So all of these people are booking and I didn't know which ones were from which clients. I was like, oh no, this is bad. I have to go back and reverse engineer who's who. And I just started using Calendly when I joined Bell Curve. I'm a newbie. So I got to figure out the do's and the don'ts. Because I don't need you just booking random meetings on my calendar. Okay.
Just for funsies.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, this is awesome. Thank you guys. This is really fun.
Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. If people, we'll put the link to Bell Curve on the show notes so you guys can find Nicole. And then LinkedIn. Are you okay if I put your LinkedIn in there as well?
throw demand curve on there too, because I think a lot of people, depending on who your audience is, but I think a lot of people who they might not be in the position to hire an agency, but I think they'd get a lot of value from the course sets that the demand curve offers, as well as the community. Like it's
the first step of tapping in. You just start tapping in.
Yeah.
That's what they need to learn.
Awesome. Awesome.
And I'm assuming LinkedIn, you said, since you're paying for it, you may as well put that on there too, right?
I'm a premium LinkedIn member now. So yeah.
You know, that $500 a year better come to good use.
Let's put that to work. Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks, Nicole. Thank
you guys. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you. Phil, you're staying on for a minute, obviously.
Got it.
Bye.
Nicole, we'll talk to you in a month or so.
Yes, sounds good.
See you later. No prep. She's nice.
She's nice. I like her. I like her a lot. Yeah, very smart. Very smart. Man.
We always bring two people that are too smart on, though. See, they're all smarter. We need to bring someone who's not as smart. I don't know what for. I don't know why we would do that, but.
This is good. No.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to the email course, actually.
Yeah.
I think that'll be kind of cool. I still think, you know, I know emphatically that most small business, and I will use that as, you know, I know most small businesses do not use their emails properly.
Yeah.
If at all.
Yeah. I agree with you.
What a great tool. What a list. I mean, those are people talking to you.
Yeah. I know. It's a big deal. So
we'll get her to come on. Then we're going to get a few of our friends to listen to it and start saying, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Bitter patter. Let's get at her.
Man. It's awesome.
That was good. I enjoyed that. That was good. I like that. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got a whole bunch of interviews. We've got somebody booked up for next week and the week after already as well.
Okay.
So we're,
I've got a few in the game too. And I got a few, actually, I haven't thought of for a while, but I think I'd like to bring on some friends I've known from years past who did really well. And are, I think they spend now a little bit more time trying to help out, sort of like Fada was, like Mike and those type of guys where they're, you know, they've done well and they're at those ages where they're all trying to give back a little bit, but I like the insight.
Yeah.
Those people provide. So
yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's great.